Budget Committee. We will officially, now that we are recording, call the Budget Committee meeting of the Board of Health for Madison-Dane County to order, and we'll do a quick roll call if you wouldn't mind helping with that, Devin.
Holly Hatcher.
Hatcher here.
Kim Whitmore.
Whitmore here.
And Matt Fair is excused.
Great. Okay. So we will start with approval of minutes from our last Budget Committee meeting, which was on June 28th, 2021. If I could entertain a motion for this item.
Hatcher will motion.
And I think I'm the only one here to second, so I will second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Minutes have been approved. Okay, we will move on to public comment. My understanding is that we do not have any registered public comment, so we can skip past that. Next up on the agenda is disclosures and recusals. Are there any members of the body that have anything to disclose or recuse under our city ethic code? I do not. Holly does not. So that covers us. So we are good. Moving on to new business. So we are starting with item number 72228, which is the Board of Health for Madison and Dane County Resolution 2020-14, a resolution to enter into a contract with and accept funds from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services for the WIC telehealth pilot. Can I get a motion for this item, please?
Hatcher moves.
I will second. And could we get some further information about this item?
So have you all met Rachel Goldberg yet? I just want to make sure. So Rachel is still new, but a long time at this point, public health staff member, but more recent supervisor of our WIC program. So just want to officially introduce you to her and welcome her to this space. So happy to have her here to talk about her program. So
hi, Rachel, welcome.
Hi, thank you. So the telehealth program is really exciting. It's out of Tufts University and it's a research pilot that is looking essentially at online nutrition education in this new world of remote living. So it has educational materials, lesson plans, all things that you would expect on a telehealth pilot. And we are just testing it out with clients. And we have been awarded $5,492 to do this. And the program runs through the end of 2022. We have to submit our final budget items by 2023.
Great. Any questions, Holly? No? None for me. Sounds like a great program. Really excited to see how it goes. Without there being any further questions, we will take a vote. All those in favor of passing this resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, motion carries. Moving on to item 72240, the Board of Health for Madison and Dane County Resolution 2022-15, the acceptance of additional funds for the WIC Breastfeeding Peer Counselor Program. Can I get a motion for this item, please?
Hatcher moves.
And a bit more seconds. Could we get a little more information about this item from staff, please?
Sure. Rachel again. We have a breastfeeding peer counselor program and essentially received about $20,000 more this year than we did last year, bringing our total budget to $84,200. So we're just asking to accept that funding from the state.
Great. Any questions or discussion, Holly? Nope, seems pretty straightforward. Great to see more money supporting that important work. So we will vote on this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
And motion carries. All right, moving on to discussion. So our first discussion item 72237 is the 2023 operating budget target. And I don't know if it makes sense to look at the priorities at the same time, address both discussion items simultaneously. So we will also be discussing 72238, the 2023 operating budget priorities. And it looks like the Kate and Janelle show is about to begin.
Yeah, so you will probably hear from all three of us, myself, Kate, Kate and Millicent as we go forward. And yes,
apologies,
thank you for
the Millicent, Kate, and Janelle budget show. So thank you.
We each have a little role. So it's that time of year again, you know, it's budget season, we never end, but this becomes a new and intense push. So thanks for being able to make this time to so that we can kind of orient you to where we are. Next slide, please. So as I alluded to earlier, we don't have a lot to present to you because we are taking the directive seriously. We know we had a budget meeting, was it last Monday? I've lost all track of time. Last week, not this week, right, Kate? So we met with city and county finance and have received the directives from both units of government that were, you know, promulgated to everyone. The city is looking for a 1% reduction scenario from their departments. We're exempt from that and have been directed to submit a cost to continue budget. Within that cost to continue, there is the understanding and permission, so to speak, to do what we generally do is to make sure that we can continue the services as they currently are. If that means that there may be some like ups and downs in different programming line items, right? So just to make sure that things continue as is. So we are not going to propose any changes to any programs. And just want to flag that, you know, we are far from out of COVID, as you well know, as a department. And what that means for us in the budget is that our service lines, as you see the way they are described in the city package, might look a little inflated or be moving up and down over the course of the next couple years as where our grant funding has come in to support the COVID response, where staff have been able to be paid from COVID grant activities where they might normally be paid from licensed establishments or other grants or GPR. So we're going to take a little bit of time to normalize within that, but that doesn't mean that we're making changes to what you see. It's just going to be a little bit of, you know, I'm not sure when that will finally normalize, but the funding that we have goes through likely 2025. The funding that we have goes through 2024. So we'll be probably a more pre-COVID place at that point in time. So just want to flag that. And then I think I'm transitioning, handing it over to Kate or Millicent for this one to talk through a few more details of kind of that bigger picture of all the finances.
Yep. Thank you, Janelle. As Janelle stated, 2021 was a very unique year. We completed our audit earlier this month, and it went very well. So we're expecting no findings as usual. This is our snippet of our drafted financial statement. Our total revenues that were budgeted for 2021 was a little over 21 million. And as Janelle stated, all those funding streams that came in due to COVID increased the budget to about $40.2 million in revenue. In actuality, we received $32 million in 2021. And the reason for that shortfall is because these grants are multi-year, and so it's pay for activities. And so if the activities haven't happened, we cannot collect on those, we cannot be reimbursed. So that's why you see that difference of $7.2 million, which we anticipate we'll receive in 2022 and going forward. Our total expenses budgeted was $21.5 million. And due to those increased revenue streams, we were able to adjust our appropriation to $40.6 million in expenditures. In actuality, we spent $31.4 million. And so we were able to increase our fund balance by $1.5 million. We brought forward $1.9 million in fund balance. And so now we're at a total of $3.5 million in fund balance. And I think Kate and Janelle will talk about the use of fund balance and what happened in our meeting and how that's going to be played out in our 2023 budget. That's all for me.
Thanks, Melissa.
And please ask us questions throughout. We don't want to just speak to you. We want to make sure that you're engaged with us.
Thanks, Melissa. Any questions there before we continue on? Nope. Okay. So I just wanted to give you a really brief 2022 year-to-date summary, knowing that our 23 budget is a cost to continue based on what we submitted last year. This is just going to help ground, intent is to help ground you in kind of the split of revenues and expenditures to expect in our budget that we're preparing this year for the 2023 fiscal year. So the budget that we submitted for 2022 was $25.5 million. This includes the grant funded positions for COVID response and recovery that were approved last fall. So we created 19 new positions for our department. 16 of those positions are project positions that we have grant funding for through the end of 2024. And that really, those positions created kind of a core leadership structure for our COVID response and recovery efforts, given that our management team was just stretched and pulled in a lot of different directions. So that is really the core and the backbone that we're able to expand and contract our response activities with that leadership structure. For 2022, the breakdown of revenues kind of shook out as follows. So we always have a mix of tax levy, contracts and grants, fees, licenses, and services that make up our budget revenues. For 2022, that tax levy number is at 56%. That's a considerable amount lower as a percentage than we typically see. For example, in past years, from pre-COVID, that tax levy contribution or percentage was closer to that 67-68%. But given the increase in grants for our COVID response, that percentage of our budget that's made up by tax levy has gone down. When we're looking at expenditures, this is pretty consistent with where we've been. Our budget is primarily our people. That's kind of our service and the value that we bring to the community. So you see that the personnel expenses are sitting at that 82%, services at 13%, and supplies at 2.5%. So as we move forward and as we're building our 2023 proposal, the kind of breakdowns and the target are going to be similar to what was approved and what we are working through this year in 2022. And if there are no questions, I can pass it back to Janelle.
So just a little bit more detail of kind of where Kate was going, you know, as we are presenting and building the 2023 budget, one of the main areas that we're, you know, we're paying attention to every area of the department, but COVID's taking special attention, you know, continuing to. And so we're kind of operating under the following assumptions that you see in front of you that, you know, right now it currently is, and we'll kind of likely continue to have COVID circulating, that as a department, we have demonstrated a high level of service and delivery to the community in a variety of different areas, and that we need to be prepared to continue to provide those services as COVID may ebb and flow, expand and contract with different surges. And hopefully we won't see any new variants. That, as Kate mentioned, these positions that we created through these funding streams will be instrumental in helping to move us forward, and that the revenue that we receive from these grants, as we are able to kind of build our fund balance, will support our ability to continue to have staff available to us in these surge moments in the key areas of, you know, in particular at the service level for testing, contact tracing, and vaccination. in the interaction with our community. So we'll have those funding streams through 2024. We are not aware at this point of any new revenue that will come forward to support COVID response activities at this point in time. So want to be really mindful of using the funds that we have available to us to continue to provide high quality services to the community. So that is a base set of where we're focusing on a bit of those revenues and the fund balance, and then not applying that towards anything else agency-wide right now. Are there any questions about that?
I have a couple of quick questions, and I'm sorry if you spoke to this and I missed it. So with the cost to continue directive, we'll still be able to continue the 19 new positions?
Yes, because those positions were tied to these funding streams and their project positions. So right now we're only able to have those positions on our roster through when this funding ends.
Gotcha.
We would and have expressed that we would like to continue a number of them pending what the need is post that period of time, because we know that we have way more work outside of COVID, and even we don't know if COVID will continue in needing the same level of how to respond. So we're looking at, as we're doing this work, we're also looking about how to continue to integrate that more into the department. But we as you've heard me say in the past, we are well understaffed for a health department serving a community this size. But yes, that funding will support these positions at the in that project status through 2024.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the question.
I have a question. I know, again, I think I say this every year, the community grants that we give out are so powerful and they're just such a small amount of money. And I know with the cost to continue, they may not be possible, but there's any possibility of increasing those funds for those community grants in this next budget?
Great question, Kim. And that leads us to this slide. So I will answer that in the next couple minutes. How about that? So where that leads us and is just kind of wanted to orient you to the timeline that we're operating under. So the last couple months, Kate and her and Millicent and their teams have been working with city and county finance to assure that the things that we need to support that cost to continue budget are itemized and recognized at the city and county levels. So those adjustments are coming in. We just received within the last couple of days, right, the guidance from each unit of government about how to build our budget. And we need to submit our proposal as an agency by July 22nd. We follow the city finance timeline. The county's off. The city pushed their timeline back about 4 weeks this year, 3 weeks this year. Excuse me. So it's closer to the submission deadline for the county than it has been in the past. We've usually had about a 4 to 6 week lag in between when the city department budgets are due and when the county department budgets are due, but that's a closer gap this year. And within that, given what we've attempted to share with you, right, we do not believe that we have any flexibility within the funds available to us to continue services as they are to add new and different things. If we have to, as we're itemizing the resources needed for projects or for programs, it may mean that communicable disease has a couple thousand dollars that could go towards sexual and reproductive health, but it's not going to create any surpluses to add to these different efforts. That said, once we get into this, these red arrow phases are opportunities outside of what we submit that you may have available, right, through the city and county legislative processes to submit amendments for the public health budget. That could be one of those things. Holly, you were successful in that last year, is to create a paired funding to support county agencies as we had been to the city. So there is the, we know from July to August, we will be working with the executives on assuring kind of alignment of what we submit with what funding is available. And we think that that will be successful because we'll be following those directives. And then we know that there's the process that both the Common Council and the County Board utilize with the funds that might be available to them to submit amendments to create different or augment current programming efforts. And so that's the process that I would recommend for you to consider if that's one of the priorities of the board to offer to the community or to support, you know, public health programming, if that makes sense. And so the timelines for that are generally between October and November when those amendments begin, are introduced. They need to probably begin sooner than that so that they are ready once those deadlines are up. And if you see on that kind of like rust colored arrow underneath that, it's usually in that October, mid to late October range. This reflects the city of Madison timeline for the finance meetings, but the county personnel and finance, we can get you all those dates as well, are fairly similar. It's not uncommon that we in public health might be on back-to-back city county finance meetings on one night to discuss amendments. So that is the, this is the timeline that we're under. We'll submit this base cost to continue as we're reconciling all of the service signs, the program needs, and then would love to work with you and support the things that you would like to see happen within or through public health.
I just wanted to mention, Kim, I support that and I'm happy to help with that, the community grants.
Thanks, Holly.
Yeah.
Is that so similarly from the county side, you do the same thing advocating in the county budget for an increased match?
Like that? That's what we did last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Great.
Thank Excellent. You.
So I will say, despite everything that I just said about cost to continue, we will be submitting a supplemental request within our base budget. And the one that you will see that we are aware of right now is based on, and Bonnie's here to talk more about it, answer more of your questions, but just to remind you that pre-COVID, 2019, when we submitted the 2020 budget, we submitted a budget that included fee increases to support the license establishment program, given the size and the scale of the work has increased, and that program is intended to be entirely fee supported. And so that fee increase was aligned with the creation of two new sanitarians and one supervisor position. And when we submitted that package of positions last year, the 19 that Kate mentioned earlier, we were able to move those three positions back with the funding that we had received to, with the understanding that in this year's budget, we would be resubmitting that fee increase as we had initially intended. A couple of years ago, because it is time to do so. It's been a number of years. It's been more than 5 years now. Is that correct, Bonnie? So essentially, though, we consider that a cost neutral to a certain degree on levy supplemental requests, because it just allows us to move that increase forward through ordinance to support generating that revenue. So that will be what something that we'll propose. And sorry, Bonnie, if I stole all your thunder, so I'm going to turn it over to her a little bit more.
Yeah, I will add a little bit more. When we proposed that fee increase in 2020, and it was in effect January 2020, we were trying to make up for 5 years of increases throughout our licensed establishment community. And we continue to see increases even throughout this pandemic. And when you look back 8 years, we've been averaging a 3.75% increase. We have not raised fees in that amount of time now because of the 2020 was 5 years forward, and then now we have three more years added onto that. So that's really like we've increased in size with licensed establishments about 30%, but we haven't been able to support that with capacity because we haven't been able to increase our fees for our licensed establishment operators. So as Janelle said, we're planning on reverting back to that fee increase, and that will support the two new sanitarians and the supervisor that we have on staff. And just kind of to understand the magnitude of growth in our community, even during the pandemic, we are at around 3,800 licensed establishments. We're at 4,277 today. And the growth isn't always in areas that people would anticipate. People right away think of, when they think licensed establishments, they think restaurants or retail food establishments. But we've seen a lot of growth in different areas, such as lodging, swimming pools, tattoo and body art. So that's where some of that growth is coming from. And we're doing some data analysis of that just to see where, you know, exactly where that growth is happening. But nevertheless, still growing, and in order to accommodate the growing licensed establishment program, we need to revert back to the increased fees.
Thanks for that, Bonnie. Holly, do you have any questions for Bonnie?
No, I don't. Thank you.
So that's kind of the short and long of kind of what we will be submitting this year. Nothing substantively changing, no service, you know, delivery changes. One of the things that we are starting to work on with a bit more effort and than we have been able to is evaluating the impact of COVID on the services that we provide. We know anecdotally that the clients that we serve are, many of them are experiencing more hardship than they may have pre-COVID. What we're still not entirely certain of in a data-driven way is our ability to just talk more with you about how there may be more need for services in addition to the need that folks have who are receiving our services. So we're hopefully by next year, likely before that, we'll be able to share with you more of that data because we anticipate that we'll be needing to think differently about what might happen in the future as we get a handle on recovery. And how do we support our community through recovery, not just in the services that we do provide, but based on what we're seeing as a need, and how do we intersect with other folks in that recovery phase, if that makes any sense. So, like I said, not able to give you an overview of that with any detail, but it's a priority for us to figure that out so that we can align staffing and resources to where the programmatic needs are and where the community need is as well. So more to come on that.
Thanks, Janelle. So wondering with the timeline, when would it be best, or when would you need this committee to meet again, or would you anticipate just bringing the budget to the full board for approval as a next step? what would be most helpful?
We are hopeful that we will have be able to identify a quorum to meet before the budget is approved. So would like your guidance, approval, direction based on what we've provided you tonight to take back. And then I think the goal would be to have the report of this committee and any updates that we would make, which I doubt would be anything at this point, in front of the full board before we push enter, submit on what time? 4:30 p.m. on July 22nd, Millicent?
Right.
I was waiting for her to say, no, Janelle, not 4:30 p.m. Like, sooner than that, but so that we would have that full board support. And then happy to talk with any of you, the entire board, on things that you may be wanting to happen through the department outside of that submission.
Yeah, I think for me, and just, you know, from conversations on the board, one of the biggest things is, you know, the community grants, increasing those, but it sounds like we can't do anything about that quite yet. The other thing is, as again you mentioned and are aware of, that I think there is going to need to be a fundamental shift in programs and resources differently for different programs in the recovery phase. And it seems like we can't really do that yet because we're not necessarily in the recovery phase still or yet. So, you know, other than that, I mean, we can't do a whole lot with what the directives are. So I don't think there's a whole lot of conversation or feedback that I would have for you guys moving forward. Just good luck figuring it out, because I know that's a lot to figure out, and you guys are doing so much important work, and it's so hard to do that with limited funds and resources. And, you know, really appreciate all that you guys have been able to do and continue to do with the resources you have.
And I would echo a lot of what you said, and I'm just sitting here. I know this is probably, and Janelle spoke to this a little, but I'm sitting here thinking, without the additional funding for the COVID response, that really makes it hard, because, you know, we're not really in recovery yet. So I appreciate the hard work you guys are doing, and I imagine this is really difficult, knowing that the additional funding is not going to be there, but we're still providing a response for. I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you.
If there's anything more I can do to support you, let me know. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for that understanding. I think where we are today, assuming nothing changes for COVID response, we're in an okay spot. If things change and no funding come in, we're going to have to be having some different conversations. And we'll not hesitate in bringing that forward to the board quickly. So, but being able to build that understanding, right, that there is a element, right, that we see and we know and we're all experiencing as a community, as a society, of being done, but the work of the health department isn't done. And mm-hmm. So there's still a lot that's happening to continue to remind folks and elevate that, and in the midst of all the other work that our amazing team members are continuing to do. So don't want to ever lose that as well. So thank you. So we don't have, I don't have anything else. Yes. So thank you for that.
Okay. And we don't necessarily have to vote on anything. That was just a discussion item. So appreciate the opportunity to meet with this committee, and appreciate you sharing all that information. And we will hopefully, fingers crossed, get a quorum-based full board meeting in time to review and approve the budget. So we'll go from there. So I think the next thing is just a motion to adjourn.
All motion to adjourn.
I will second, and I assume there's no argument. So all in favor, aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate your time. Have a good night.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for all the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.